Hey, Fresno, what time is it?
It's time to stir it up!
Welcome to Stir It Up, a weekly program produced by a collective of local activist organizations in Fresno. Please join us as we educate, agitate, and pontificate.
Welcome, everybody. This is Ernesto Saavedra here at Stir It Up. So today's show is a good one that I'm really excited about. So oftentimes in our community, I feel like we're very reactive, right? Something bad happens and we react to it, rightfully so. But what's special about the topic for today is that it's taking a more proactive approach, right? Especially working with the youth in the community and getting them while they're young, like some say, right? So today's guest is Rigo Garcia, a Chicano-Chicana Latin American Studies graduate from San Jose State University. He's from Fresno, East Side specifically. And we're here to talk with him about Fresno Autonomous Summer Program, right? So like I mentioned, it's very critical that not only do we be reactive, but we also be proactive, right? And try to build communities that we want to see that we're essentially fighting for, right? So welcome, Rigo. Nice to have you.
Thank you, Ernesto. Glad to be here.
For sure. So tell us a little bit about the Fresno Autonomous Summer Program. What is the program about? Most importantly, why did you want to do it?
Well, I guess let me get started from the beginning. I grew up in Fresno. I come from a poor family, a migrant family, and I always felt like a lot of my experiences growing up in Fresno mostly revolved around institutions that I really didn't feel that I could really fulfill my potential, my creative potential and everything. So when I was going to school, I'm going to school in San Jose. I was looking into youth and then youth programs and specifically some of the conditions that affect young people when they're growing up. And looking into that, I don't know, it really inspired me to try to do, to want to work with young people, especially what people considered at-risk youth, which is, I don't know, it's just a code word for youth that don't really have resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that grow up in certain conditions. So through my studies and then also through the some of the organizers, some of my friends that I know, I don't know, I came up, and this idea is old too, but just came up with the idea to try to have a program for young people that's not so structured, or that's not structured in the way that tries to only control and remedy the behavior of young people, but focuses a little bit more on them and letting them, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like self-actualize or reach some of their potential, like some of their personal potential in creative ways,
right?
And in healthy ways, right, that benefits them and the community that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
So those were some of the background ideas. So then with that, kind of playing with that idea, I did some research, and then I contacted a lot of the organizers here out of Fresno, a lot of friends that I have, and there's a beautiful organizing community here in Fresno. And I got a lot of support, and people were really interested, and they really wanted to get something started. So we started having meetings, started meeting people. We connected with a lot of different organizations, and just started teasing out like this idea for a summer program working with at-risk youth. Yeah, and that's kind of how we got started. We got the ball rolling on that. We managed to get a spot actually at the Cafe Info Shop in Chinatown. And then we started recruiting some young people, bringing them into the program. And yeah, we've been, this is actually our second week. So kind of like what the program does now, we try to do two things. and a number with a number of different approaches. One aspect is kind of just to provide a space for young people, especially the people that we're working with, to be a little bit more free, to feel a little bit more comfortable, and to explore different things, right? So we explore the arts. We do a lot of sports activities, physical activities. We watch movies. And we also have like little educational pieces and workshops and stuff like that. And then the other part is trying to connect them by building relationships with them, trying to connect them to resources that we have as a group of activists and community members and community organizers. So that includes things like, well, for example, we have one student. He wasn't sure about going to college, and through some dialogue that some of us had with him, we explored the idea of what it would be like for him to go to college and what kind of doors that could open up for him.
Right.
So he was like, "All right, yeah, I'll try college." So last week we went to Fresno City College and we applied online and we explored the campus, and then we talked to some people there too. And now he's on his way to college, right? He's going to start his first semester. So also, like, I don't know, we try to make it really specific, right, to each student. So there's some students that need their GED completed or need to take GED classes or take their GED test. So for those students, we're talking to them. We figured out everything that they need to do in order to get their GED. And now we're just trying to get them tutors that will help them achieve that goal of getting a GED. And hopefully we'll get them into college too.
Right.
So that's kind of the combination, right? So providing resources that a lot of these kids won't have or don't have access to, or it's harder for them to have access to. And then also provide a safe space, a creative space, and also provide them with some valuable knowledge that they could utilize in their lives.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've had the opportunity to volunteer at this program and stuff and see it in action. And could you share with folks, like, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but could you share a little bit more about like the specific approach, especially like the type of topics and the type of things that you're exposing these youth to, that I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. For me, and actually this kind of works into that, the type of topics that we're looking into. For me, when I was doing some of my research on programs, I'm really into the idea of respecting people's knowledge, right? And it seems like that for young people especially, people don't really respect where they're coming from, and try to use some of their experiences and some of their ideas into, I don't know, the curriculum or whatever programs that they're in. So for me coming into it, I really wanted to incorporate where the youth come from, right? So some of their experiences that they experience and some of the ideas that they had. And sometimes that's hit or miss, and some of them get bored and they're like, "Oh, I don't want to do this." But there is those moments, right, where you could ask them, like, "Okay, well, what are some ways that we could look at this without you being bored?" And I don't know. And after a while, they start to tell you, "Okay, like, maybe we could do this or this and that." So I feel like that's one of the foundations of the program, is to really try to respect the ideas and the knowledge and the creative power, right, of the young people that we're working with, and not just assume that we're going to just teach them all this stuff and they're going to become little radicals right away and stuff. Yeah. So with that, we try to focus on some of the structures that affect them, especially oppressive structures that affect these young people. So we're looking at like race, we're looking at gender, we're looking at, I don't know, capitalism, the economy. We're also looking at respect for other people. We're also looking at like creativity, being creative, being autonomous is a big deal too. So how to create autonomy for yourself, but also in your communities. And yeah, and those are some of the stuff that we've been looking at so far.
Right. And what has been the reaction from some of the youth? Because some of these topics can be very heavy, and I know they're not things that folks probably speak on a daily basis. What has been some of the reactions from some of the youth? Has it been receptive? Maybe some more so than others? Or
yeah.
Yeah, what's your take on it?
So it's definitely, I don't know. I feel like at some moments you have youth that are more receptive to certain ideas and less receptive to other ideas. Excuse me. So for the most part, there's always something that they pick up, right? There's always a little tidbit that they get, right? So for example, a lot of them enjoy movies. So we've been showing movies, like that's, some of them told me that that's how they like to learn, to watch movies and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know, we were showing them some documentaries and a lot of them were like, oh, I don't necessarily like this documentary. But even those, I don't know, once you start talking to them and point some things out or maybe like ask them some things, there are some stuff that they pick up.
Right.
So for example, we were watching Capitalism, A Love Story, and one of the youth, I mean, they're good youth, right? They're good.
Yeah.
They're good young people and stuff. But for the most part, I don't know, they're kind of doing their own thing. But then later on, I was asking them, okay, well, did you see anything? And they're like, oh yeah, that's messed up. How, they put out life insurance policies on people, right? And then cash out when that person dies. And then I don't know, I feel like even if they catch only that part of the movie, like the conversations that you could have from that, the conversations that we did have from that were really good.
Right.
So yeah, some of them catch a little bit more stuff, some of them less, but they always do come out with something. And I feel what's more important than just trying to have that one instance, right, that one educational piece as the central place and time for them to capture that information.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's more valuable if we could talk to them afterwards and then have dialogue about what we watched. So yeah, I mean, short question, yeah, some of them aren't so receptive to some of the ideas, depending on what they are.
Yeah.
So capitalism, I think, was hard for some people to grasp. Consumerism, some folks were like wondering about it a little bit, but everyone seems to be taking something out of it.
Yeah.
Which I think is good.
Yeah, that's really cool. So what is the makeup of the youth that are participating in this program?
Like, yeah. So like I said, I mean, in textbooks, they'll call them like at-risk youth, which I don't know, it's a kind of a weird word, but the makeup of our youth is youth that are in foster homes, so mm-hmm. group homes, and mostly these are court ordered foster youth, right? So
right.
They get sent there by the courts or by the probation officer for one reason or another. They're in there.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these youth have been institutionalized, and what I mean by that is that they've gone like to juvenile hall, they've been in juvenile hall, and they've gotten in trouble for one reason or another. Some of them have recently gotten out of juvenile hall and we're working with them too, but they're with their parents. Others are just friends of friends and they bring their young people in.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's youth that are, I don't know, from Fresno, mostly under the poverty line, and for one reason or another have gotten in trouble with the criminal justice institution.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And I think it's important to highlight that too, because I think oftentimes these are the youth, right, that usually nobody pays too much mind to, and, you know, they just ignore, or they're just like, oh, they're just troublemakers. Yeah, don't really respect where they're coming from or their knowledge, right, or why they got caught up in those situations in the first place. So I think that's great. So Just a little bit more about the program, as far as resources. Are people getting paid to put this on, or what's going on with that? How are you making this happen?
Yeah. Well, they're not getting paid. it's all volunteer based, right? Mm-hmm. So we have been throwing fundraisers, and we've also been getting donations from different people. But as far as like employees or anything like that, it's all volunteer based. So no one's getting paid. Actually, some of us are losing money, which is fine. I mean, it's worth it. But yeah, it's all free labor.
Right.
And I mean that's also was a part of the idea, right? So we wanted to have this program that was more, and hence the name Autonomous. So we wanted to have a little bit more freedom as to what we could do with the youth, and then how flexible we could be with stuff. So I know that a lot of folks, when they work for certain programs, you got to have you got to have a schedule, and then you got to meet certain criteria, and then you got to qualify it somehow, right? But the idea for us is to try to be a little bit more flexible to see if we could form something that tends more to the people that we're working with than an idea of an institution,
right.
Or a specific goal for an institution, right? And that goes back to respecting people's knowledge and where the youth are coming from with their knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's beautiful that a lot of people here in Fresno are willing to donate their time, and when they could be doing other stuff, right? It gets hot too.
Oh yeah.
So we have around a group of 15 people that donate their time.
Yeah.
And I think it's great, and I'm really grateful for them.
Definitely. That's awesome. Just wanted to remind, program for youth happening here locally in Fresno. Going along with that, so nobody's getting paid to do this. Most of the youth are, oh, what's going on, right? This is crazy. But it's incredible, and I think I'm personally glad that it's happening. Is this the first time that it's happened here in Fresno, or?
Yeah. Yes. This is our first time. So I don't know. Hopefully, the idea is to have it every summer, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
To try to get something positive for the kids to participate in.
Right.
But yes, first time. So I don't know. This is the trial, the test run.
This is the test run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. And I know that you're a graduate student at San Jose State, and you said you were doing research and stuff. So are you applying any of your things that you've learned through your schooling to this program? I know you said a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. So of the things that I'm applying, I would say grassroots organizing was really important for me. So in my studies, we looked at a lot of different organizations that work with young people. From like nonprofit to more institutionalized stuff that work with schools, like after school programs. I was most interested in looking at grassroots stuff, right? So things that happen within the community for the community. So that was one of the ideals. Also participatory program building, which is an idea that I got. Where did I get that? I was reading some articles on some African researchers, and man, I feel bad because I forgot their names.
No, that's
right. Yeah, but the whole idea with that, right, is that whatever organization that you're making, or whatever structure that you're making, that you're trying to use. So instead of being there like more like a savior, it's more of a servitude, right? You serve the people that you're trying to construct with. I like the metaphor of building a house, right? So you're building a house for somebody, right? As a, I don't know, to serve them. But the idea is like to have them help you build the house too, and design the house, and not just build them a house and give them a house kind of thing.
Right.
So in that way, like you pass down some of your knowledge, and then they share their knowledge with you. Also, looking a lot into like Freire, and stuff, and the pedagogy of the oppressed, and trying to avoid what he calls a banking education.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to do stuff that's a little bit more, I don't know, that's more horizontal, I guess, a horizontal style of learning.
Could you remind me what banking education is?
So he presents this idea of banking education that says that, and as a critique, right, of education, where most folks, when they teach, they have these students which they consider more as vessels, and they're like the leaders, or I don't know, the lead that need to fill up these vessels.
Yeah.
So in banking, they're just like getting information and putting them in these vessels and filling them up, right? And it's a very linear, one-direction type of education,
mm-hmm.
where the teacher or professor or whatever you want it to be is the holder of knowledge and the right type of knowledge. And then the student does not possess that knowledge but needs to be acquainted with that knowledge. And the way that that happens is that the teacher just pushes the knowledge on the student.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a large part of our education system nowadays. At least that's how I was brought up, right? And still seems to be the case, unfortunately, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just the teachers at the front of the class speaking down, you know, literally, right, to the students. Everybody sitting down, teacher standing up, mm-hmm. Those different dynamics. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Go for it.
And I was going to say one more thing. Also, we look a lot at a control, right? And I was really captivated by some of the stuff that Foucault writes about, and also his name is Victor Rios. He writes this book, Policing Black and Brown Bodies, I think. And I might have not said the right title.
Something
but
like that.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, the whole idea behind that too is that a lot of institutions, especially for at-risk youth youth from rougher neighborhoods or poorer neighborhoods or whatever, a lot of the times the emphasis of their education is based on behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order for them to learn, they're told or to a certain extent forced, right, to behave in a certain way. So you have to sit, you have to get in line, you have to listen to bells, right? And that controlling the behavior of a young people or whoever, it could be a prison inmate or whatever.
Adults too, just working.
Absolutely. It takes precedence to the acquisition of knowledge or the cultivation of knowledge, right? And for me, that was a really powerful, that sometimes we're more invested in controlling someone to then try to teach them or to cultivate knowledge. And I don't know, the ideal is to offer something else, something that's not necessarily based off control, right?
Yeah.
And especially with the kids that we work with, a lot of them, that's what they're used to. They're used to adults telling them what to do.
Yeah.
And what the adult says or what the person in charge says is the absolute, right? And it's a hard thing to curve. It's hard to, like, not tell a kid to sit down or to put their phone away.
Especially in the summer, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So if folks want to learn more about the program or get involved somehow, whether that's volunteering or donating, is there a meetup where people can participate in, or as well as, like, you know, contact information?
Yeah, actually, that I'm glad that you reminded me. There's an event that we're having this Friday. It's called the Farce of July. And it's put on by some different organizations, including the Brown Berets of Fresno, which are great, by the way. And that's happening on Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. At the CFJ, Californians for Justice Center, which is at 946 North Fulton Street. And there's going to be music, poetry. It's a potluck also, so bring a dish if you're going to come by. So some sharing of information and knowledge. And there's going to be a cumbia band playing also, so if folks want to enjoy some cool music, it should be a lot of fun. And we're going to be collecting donations that day for our program, and the donations are actually going to go specifically for a scholarship. So we're giving each of the students $100 for whatever they need. I mean, yeah. we're trying to recommend that they use it for school or whatever, but I don't know, when you're young, sometimes you have different ideas.
Yeah, definitely. And as far as folks getting in touch with you or learning more about the program and possibly volunteering, or if they can't make it to the event Friday, if they still want to help out somehow, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh yeah, you could. Everyone could email me, and my email is rigogsantarosa@gmail.com, and I'll go ahead and spell that out. It's rigogsantarosa@gmail.com. Yeah, so go ahead and email me and then ask me any questions, or if you want to come by. We're also open to people that want to share like skills or knowledge. So if you want to do a little workshop, we have workshops at our place. Yeah, drop me an email.
Cool. And what days is the program run and time?
Mm-hmm. Our program runs from Monday to Thursday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And also every morning at 8 a.m. to 9, we have a free breakfast for the young people and for whoever shows up, actually. Yeah, and we run out of the Fresno Info Shop, the Cafe Info Shop, and they're at 935 F Street in Fresno's Chinatown.
All right, cool. Well, there you have it, folks. If you want to learn more, make sure you contact Rigo, or you can stop by to the Info Shop and check it out if you choose to. That's going to do it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good one. Stay out of the heat.
Primer día del año, Chiapas, México, el indio maya, cuatro pueblos tomó.
Sonó la campana por todo el mundo, que Emiliano Zapata ya se levantó.
Viene exigiendo tierra, quiere su libertad, que pare la violencia contra el indígena.
Salinas de Gortari, las tropas mandó, tanques y aeroplanos contra la rebelión.
Y los zapatistas preso tomaron a Castellanos Domínguez, el exgobernador.
Viene exigiendo tierra y es su libertad, que pare la violencia contra el indígena.